RTE2FM. Now, accidents, abuse, neglect, or loss can all take a major toll on us, and whatever the issue, if your ability to cope with it is overwhelmed, you may experience trauma. So let's talk about it. Neuroscientist Brian Penny has seen his fair share of it, and he's here to talk about trauma. Good morning.
Good morning, Jen.
Okay, so we do use the word traumatic all the time, but how would you define trauma?
So I'd like to sort of talk about this. I'll give the personal example versus the definition of as well.
Okay.
So it basically trauma, it's a past experience that leaves an imprint on your body and mind. And in turn, that imprint basically leaves you sensitized to future challenges.
Okay.
That's literally what the trauma is. And the ground that in my own experiences as well. So I had a very traumatic experience as an infant of all things. So I obviously can't remember that so far. Basically, I had an operation without a general anaesthetic. So pre-1985, based on very weak medical evidence, infants undergoing surgery did not get a general anaesthetic. And unfortunately, I was one of them. That's quite shocking for a lot of people.
Now, I'm not shocked by this because I've read your book and I tell everybody this story because that year, like the fact it was 1985 and people thought that infants didn't experience pain or whatever, and the fact that you went, it is inconceivable.
Mind blown. Mind blown. I've since dug deeper on that, Jen, and it's really interesting. So there was a realisation that it might have an impact, but the cost benefit of giving an anaesthetic at that age was saying, Andy won't remember, but he didn't have this evidence that it leaves that physiological imprint on the body. And for me, it left me hypersensitive, chronic. I ended up with a phobia of my heartbeat, breath and pulse, panic attacks and anxiety. And that's what I believe drove my entire addiction. So for me, it was a trauma, left that imprint that left me hyper vigilant for challenges in the future.
It's scary when you talk about it like that.
Yeah.
When you were digging deep, when you were looking into this, how did you feel? Is there resentment there? Is there anger there?
No, I'm very lucky in that I don't do resentment and anger. I'm very lucky. It just doesn't come naturally to me, to be quite honest. But I remember when I was talking about this verbally to people, I never called myself an infant or a baby. I called myself an organism when I was referring to my older self. So I created that detachment. So someone wouldn't do that to an infant or a baby. So an organism made more sense. And I remember I was talking to Alison Keaton. She's a psychologist. And she says, why do you keep on calling yourself an organism? And it was like this, oh my God, it was like we had an emotional experience between the two of us, just this realisation that I was just distancing myself from the pain. So that was an experience, but I definitely don't hold resentment because they were doing what they thought was best at the time. That's what I always go back to. There was no malice.
I would want to find that surgeon. Absolutely lift him out of it. So trauma can happen as young as that, in a physical sense as well. It can leave an imprint in us. That's crazy to think.
Yeah, that's crazy. And one of the things was, so it's like you don't cognitively remember that.
No.
But it leaves that imprint and it's on the fear center of your body. So fear sort of is an adaptive process. So it's a really great thing. We're afraid of something. We get traumatized by something to protect us in the future. But the challenge is, in the life we live today, we are traumatized by other things because we're oversensitized, and this brings so many other problems into our lives.
Okay. It just reminds me of the conversation we were having last week. We were talking about reprimanding our kids and, you know, the fact that, you know, you cannot hit a kid, it's illegal, and the consequences of that. And we were talking about how we reprimand our kids, and it's funny that we're all kind of traumatized in the 1980s. We all remember those times. We got the wooden spoon, or we got a whack or whatever. And I suppose for some more traumatic than others. But what is the difference between, let's say, a challenging experience and actual trauma?
So I think this really does come down to the biological aspect of that, because we think of trauma, we think of, let's say, a car accident.
Yeah.
We think of like a physical assault or a sexual assault. So it's like a one big bad burn that leaves that kind of a trauma. But some challenging experiences, like, might be nagging, like me, like an unfair boss who was just like at you all of the time. And that's not specifically trauma. But there's a subjectivity towards that as well, and a tipping point. So can you imagine that a boss that's being unfair over time, this builds up sort of a tension and an anxiety within you, and then it turns into a form of bullying. So there's a tipping point of where something that's challenging can become a trauma.
Okay.
But really it comes back to that biological imprint. What does it do to you biologically that will leave you more sensitive to future challenges? That's what really determines if it's trauma or not.
Okay, and trauma, the experience of trauma, how does that affect the brain and the body?
So this is the big one, and it really taps into all of this as well. So trauma is specifically centered around the fear systems of the body. So specifically the amygdala. So we will, there'll be an external event, a stressor like a car accident or something like that, or an internal event as well. You can sort of develop trauma yourself. Like if something happened to you in the past and you keep on thinking about it, and it activates that fear system of the brain, well, then it becomes a biological event. So something that is initially a small thing, you can burn it into your mind and become very fearful of it. And once it activates that fear response, that amygdala response in the body, that becomes a fear response. And again, it's an adaptive process. That is the one thing. These fear systems and these stress systems are designed to keep us safe. But imagine you experienced physical abuse for several years, and then all of a sudden, the physical abuse was gone. Well, you are still going to be hypersensitive to future challenges. Mm. And that's what's going on in the brain. And I heard a great example of it one time. It's like turning your neural wiring from analog to 5G. So either the one big bad born or the consistent trauma over time, it just sensitizes you for future threats. So it's literally your biological systems of fear. It is the fear system. It's just lit up and always ready for that future event. So you're highly sensitive.
And can we rewire that with therapy and talking about it? And I suppose addressing it is important to be able to move forward in your life with certain situations.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. And something that's really, really important there is that SSRIs and, let's say, medication, biological medication that they usually give, SSRIs will be like antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. And these work for certain things, and that's dependent for how long they actually work. But when it's given to people with trauma, and which it is on a regular basis, mm-hmm. it's not tapping into that biological mechanism, that fear mechanism. So if you look at SSRIs, they are basically increasing the amount of serotonin in our brains. And while that may be beneficial for somebody experiencing trauma in some ways, it's not getting to the root of the problem, yeah. which is the trauma. And the only way to really do this is to rewire and change through neuroplasticity the reactivity of that fear center in your brain. And that basically is it's done in several ways, but one of the best ways is therapy. And if you think about it this way, this is how I like to think about therapy in terms of a neural perspective. So imagine you had a very traumatic experience and you're trying to you recall that event. When you recall that event, whether it's verbally or visually, there's an area of the brain, the amygdala, that is very structurally built beside the memory centers of your brain. So when you recall that event, you feel the emotions with it. So literally at a physical level, you are feeling those emotions. So if you recall those events and you remember them to be even worse, you can make the trauma even worse. Like you can increase the levels of trauma. So when you're doing therapy, or talking to a friend even, for example, you're doing it in a very safe space. Mm. So you're recalling the events in a safe space. And when we recalibrate those memories, because we don't, every time we remember something, we're not going to the root memory all of the time. They basically rewire the new memory of the event. When you recall it, recalibrates into the old memory. So when you recall it again in the future, it's like Chinese whispers, you're remembering a recalled version of that memory. So what therapy basically tries to do, it tries to what's called extinguish the emotional valence. So you basically make it boring by telling it again and again and again and again in a safe space. And the emotional energy basically changes over time.
Okay.
So that's the really important element of therapy with trauma.
So therapy, talking to friends, texting into the show. A lot of people texting in with their past traumas. I was in ICU back in 2021. I was ventilated for 10 days. I had a a very bad nightmare after coming off the ventilator. I now have PTSD from the experience in ICU. This is a great topic. Thank you so much, Brian, for talking about this. Another texter says, when I was 3, I had to get an emergency circumcision with no pain medication. Thank God I can't remember. However, that trauma might be in there by, I mean, that has definitely probably had an imprint on that person, right?
100%. There's a great book out there by a guy called Bessel van der Kolk. I think I'm getting his name right this time. First time ever, I think. And it's basically The Body Keeps the Score. So if you react in a certain way, it's through our conditioning and through our programs. It's like our muscle tissues and the fibre of our beings keep that memory. They store that memory. It's just not, it's not cognitive memory. It's bodily memory. So the body keeps the score. So there will be something within that as well. So if something has happened to you in a traumatic way, it will have an impact.
Can trauma in one person's life trickle down the generations of a family?
100%. This is really interesting research on this, because we often hear of intergenerational trauma. And one of the things from this, it's not that we are traumatized by the specific event, because I've often heard people saying, oh, my grandfather was in the war and I'm traumatized by the war. They're not particularly traumatized by the war as such. But what actually happens is that we call it, we have genetics, a genetic structure that, that's passed on through the genes. But there's this idea called epigenetics, which sort of means above genetics. And basically what that does, it leaves little markers on our genome, so the environment can have an impact and it expresses those genes. So somebody who is related to someone that has experienced trauma, something in the environment could trigger those genes and leaving them susceptible to specific kind of events. Not the exact event, but it really can have an impact on those fear systems in terms of certain events. Now, the interesting thing about this is that it happens predominantly through the men in the generations, not the women. And the research shows that, which is quite interesting. But there was a study I found recently was that it looked at people from World War II in Holland. And basically, the Dutch people in, I think it was the early 1940s, when the Germans came in, they went into famine, there was no food, they were starved for years, and those people went on to have diabetes, they were overweight, and they died early as a result. But what they found was that the infants, or in utero, that the embryos in utero also suffered similar experiences when they got older. So again, intergenerational trauma. They weren't alive for the trauma, but it was passed through the genes. And I thought that was really, really interesting.
That is crazy and makes so much sense. But I suppose not an excuse to go, oh, well, my father's like that or my grandfather's like that. You know, you need to take responsibility for your own emotions and actions as well. You know, if somebody's experienced trauma, generational trauma, right?
Definitely. I heard a great saying recently. It's like your genetics load the gun, but we get to pull the trigger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brian, thank you so much for that chat and trauma. A lot of people texting in and it's great to start the conversation and have those conversations. And as you said, you can work through it with therapy and talking to friends. And every time you talk about it in a safe space, it makes it easier for you to deal with. What's coming up for you, my friend? What are you up to?
God, holiday is coming up at the end of the month. That's great.
I heard about this. Are you off to Kerry?
For the first time in my life. Isn't that shocking? Isn't it?
Why have you never been to Kerry?
I don't know.
What's wrong with Kerry?
I wasn't until Cork until I went. I went and wrote my book down in Cork for a couple of weeks. So that was crazy. But can't believe I've never been to Kerry. I've been dotted all around. I've been to Galway. I've been to Mayo, Achill several times, but never made it to Kerry. And I'm going twice, possibly three times in the summer.
Okay, that's amazing. And you're big into your hiking, so you'll have a great time
down there. Planning on going down there, yeah. Planning on climbing Cairns Hill while I'm down there. So that'd be that's the plan.
Fair play. Well, enjoy that. You can find Brian Penny on Instagram at Brian Penny with an IE on the end. And lots of texts are coming in. We won't get to all your texts on trauma, but please know that every single one of them has been read. And I'm going to read them now. I'm going to play a couple of songs. And thank you in taking the time for sending them in such detail. Just quickly, amazing to hear trauma and its impact being discussed. Thank you so much. And thank you, Brian. Now go enjoy your holiday. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.